What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Spider Bites podcast, where every week we answer questions about our lives in hopes that you can relate to it just a little bit. This is episode 213. I am one of your hosts, Spider, and I am joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, Ashley. How are you doing today, Ashley?
I'm good. It was really nice out today because it's been really hot. And today, I don't know what the high was, but it was under 80. So it was really nice. Ooh. Yeah.
Surprising for a July day.
No, I let Toby out this morning and it was still kind of chilly. I was like, really? At this hour? It's still kind of chilly? That's a good sign. Like, he got to go on a walk today after not really being able to go a whole lot because it's been too hot.
So. Oh, I know he was loving that.
Oh, yeah. He was so happy. Those are his favorites. Like, he sees me get ready and that either means he's like going on a walk or it means he has to go up in the bedroom. So he, yeah. But. And I walked over to the door, and he was, like, so excited, and I grabbed his harness, and he was like, yes! So happy!
That's adorable.
But how have you been?
Oh, I am miserable. No, I'm not actually miserable. I'm tired, if anything. I don't think I've mentioned it on this podcast before, but I've been doing another podcast with my brother. We've been reviewing like different like superhero and different action movies and TV shows and stuff like that. And so, not to like cross promote or anything, but no, because Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con was this past weekend, and of course they announce a whole bunch of new properties, superhero trailers, all this other kind of stuff. So we did trailer reactions for 8 different properties yesterday. And I was up until about 3 in the morning, editing videos.
And yeah, it's a work day, isn't it?
Yep. Then I had training today too.
Oh, I had training. That makes it worse.
Yeah. So not only that, because the thing about it is the videos really aren't that hard to edit. It's kind of like this podcast where, you know, it's pretty straightforward. It's not like a whole bunch of cuts or anything. So once I like cut out the beginning part and then cut out the end part, everything else in the middle is pretty much fine and good to go. It's just, you know, rendering videos and then uploading them to YouTube. That takes a little bit. So I got up for training this morning, and of course Monday morning anxiety when I know I train, I can't sleep. So get up on time, didn't oversleep, which is a blessing. I'm appreciative that I didn't oversleep. But nothing worked right this morning. It was an absolute nightmare. So we had 2 training classes going on today at the same time, and 2 different environments. One environment, one of the trainers called in sick. So somebody else had to fill in, but the person that called in sick was the person that set up the session. So since they weren't in the office or they weren't logged in, the other person didn't have the hosting rights. So there was a whole thing we had to like escalate it to get like some super admin to come in and shut the session down and give them hosting rights. And that was a whole nightmare. And then the training class that I was in, for whatever reason, one, a bunch of the people that I got email addresses for, and I had to send them invitations to register for the class. The email addresses that they sent to me were wrong. So people were like, I didn't get my invite. I didn't get my invite. I'm supposed to be in class. I didn't get my invite. And their point of contact was like, oh, we're so sorry. We submitted the wrong email addresses. Can you forward these invitations? So I had to do that this morning. Then trying to get them in the class, for whatever reason, the application that we were using was bugging out and was redirecting people to the wrong site. And everybody was like, we can't get into the classroom. And I'm like, we've had never had this problem before. Why today of all days? And on top of that, my boss is out of the office because yesterday was a birthday, which, you know, very happy for her. Always, you know, advocate for people not having to work on their birthdays. So she was taking some well-deserved time off. But yeah, just like this happened on the one day where I don't really have that backup, because normally when I'm training and if something like that happens, I can just shoot her an email, be like, hey, you know, this is going on. And she'll be like, okay, cool. I'll take care of it. I'll email you, you know, with a response. So I'm trying to put out my fire, the other training's fire, and then still kind of figure out who I need to contact because people weren't showing up for class. So I'm trying to email people's point of contacts to figure out where they were. Then apparently for the other class, like half the people dropped out at the last minute and didn't tell anybody. So my other trainers were looking like, okay, oh, these people didn't show up. And I'm like, okay, well, let me figure out. And then I was like, oh, this person had an emergency, they're not coming. This person dropped out last minute. Oh, well, they decided they're not going to the training, they didn't tell anybody. I'm like, well, okay. I'm like, all right. So it was just a long Monday, and even up until just before we started recording, after I got off of work, I did all the video stuff for the other podcast yesterday, and so today after I got off of work, I had to do all the audio stuff and had to get all of those uploaded. So it's just been a very busy, a little over 24 hours with very minimal sleep.
Yeah.
So plus side, I should be able to sleep well tonight, but we'll see how hopefully. That goes.
It usually takes like a couple nights and it's like, come on, please. I'm so tired.
Exactly.
Or sometimes like my friend is always so ready. Like she has like such a, I don't know, probably like normal kind of, I don't know how else to explain it. Like, you know, we go to concerts and she's like exhausted. Like, I don't want to do anything the next day. I'm like, that sounds normal. But for me the next day, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to do whatever. Like, I'm okay. I could, you know, I prefer usually to go out somewhere. Like that's what happened after the Eric Dom concert where it was like, all right, I'm not going to stay the night, but tomorrow we can go to the mall. I was like, fine. Mm-hmm. And the next day, I already knew. I was like, we're not going to the mall. And they messaged me and they're like, I'm too tired, I'm not going to the mall. I was like, yeah, I think I was like, as soon as you were like, I'm not staying the night, I was like, oh, we're not doing anything. And the same thing happened with Monsta X, except this time we actually did end up going to the mall the next day. So I was like, okay. Good. Because I thought I was the same thing. I was like, you're not staying the night, so you're not coming over. But then they did. So I was like, oh, you surprised me, actually.
Gotta keep you on your toes.
I guess. We'll see what happens next concert, I guess.
Right.
Do we go to the mall the next day or not?
You never know. Keep you guessing. Oh, man. But to our listeners, if you remember last week, my brain is fried. But we ended off the episode and we were talking about our Netflix obsessions. Talking about Stranger Things and the Umbrella Academy. I don't even know where to start. We got to start with one of them.
In theory, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have one in particular that you'd like to start with?
Well, I wrote down Stranger Things first, so I guess we can do that one first.
Stranger Things wins. But yeah, so Stranger Things season 4, part 1 and 2. Weird that the way that they separated it, I was confused about that because it was like, oh, we have 7 episodes, and then part 2 is going to be the last 2 episodes, and the last 2 episodes are going to be like 4 hours in total.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I really felt like, you know, it's not like the episodes were long to me, because it just, like, the final 2 episodes were so, like, climactic. The length of time really didn't bother me or anything like that, but I do feel like they still could have potentially like separated it into like 4 episodes. So it could have just been like, it could have been the first 7 episodes and then 4 more episodes. It would have still kept the same runtime. And I feel like there were plenty of areas where the screen would like fade to black And we're like, oh, okay, is it over? I'm like, well, no, you hit your remote and then you see that you still have like 45 minutes left. And I was like, oh, okay, still got a half the episode left. And it's like, that could have easily just been, you know, an episode left off on a cliffhanger and then start a new episode. So I don't know what the reasoning behind that, the way that they split all of that up, but, you know, it was weird. But just overall, I really enjoyed the season. I felt like it was very, and like I said, either last week or the week before, I'm getting emotional in my old age. but it was a very emotional show. There were a lot of very touching moments through a lot of the different characters. And it really kind of like amplified the horror factor, like right out of the gate, like the beginning of episode one, we're like going through the facility, the lab or whatever, and you got all of these kids that are just like mutilated, and I'm like, the beginning of episode one, I'm like, what is happening? And it's like, it, but the thing about it is that I appreciate is that it immediately set the tone for what the season was, and it's like, this is what you're getting into. It's just like, you start off with a disclaimer, some viewers may find, you know, some scenes disturbing, and I'm like, okay. So but yeah, so I really enjoyed the season. What'd you think about it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I have felt pretty much ever since the first season that they're really just milking for content, and it could have just ended after season one. Mm-hmm. So even though I enjoy it, I feel like none of it is necessary. Like, I feel like it just got popular, so they're like, okay, we'll keep making more, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
And I guess people are really mad about Eddie, like, dying, which get, because people loved him. Mm-hmm. But then, so, because my friend also really loved Eddie, like, talks about it all the time. And she sent me a video on TikTok of this dude being like, it's not good storytelling to kill off a fan favorite. I was like, what? What are you talking about? How are you supposed to know if it's a fan favorite till after the story's already written? You're supposed to just change the... Suddenly they're like, oh fuck, the scene. We got these two episodes up, but suddenly we have to save him because it turns out people love him. Like, what?
Right. As if the episodes weren't already done filming.
Yeah. It's like, how? And you can never know who people are gonna like love. I don't know. It was just weird that like people are like, it's not good storytelling to kill off a fan favorite. Sure it is. Why not? If you're just doing it for shock factor, which I don't know, maybe they did, but
yeah,
I don't know. I felt like it made sense. I was still sad because I like Eddie, but I feel like it made sense. But then there was two things I heard about it, and I don't know what's, if any of them are true. Just putting that out there. My friend said that there's, and I don't know if they heard it, like if they came up with it or if they heard it from, you know, TikTok or whatever, but probably that there's like it's kind of implied that Eddie might come back like as like a vampire or something, some kind of F, something like that. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, get that, I guess. But then there was another person who said like, I guess Netflix, something about Netflix being set also that they killed Eddie because Eddie turned out to be a fan favorite, and they're afraid they're gonna lose watchers for the last season because Eddie's not there, so they're forcing them to bring Eddie back.
I hadn't heard that one.
I don't know what about that is true. I don't know how this person even obtained this information, so it could be totally false. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I guess there was also like, originally I guess Max was supposed to die, and then they decided to, I don't know who decided, to keep her alive, and then suddenly the Stranger Things people were like, you know what, actually, now she's a big part of the last season, we've decided now that we've kept her alive, because at first we didn't know what to do with her. So, I don't know what's true and what's not or what's going on. It's just, it's literally all essentially from my friend, which is probably getting all of their information from TikTok, so.
Right.
But, yeah, I was expecting Max to die. Well, I wasn't at first until she did die, and then I expected her to stay dead. Right. I didn't expect Eleven to essentially keep her alive, but then it, because then I was saying the fact that she's in a coma and she might never wake up. I'm like, at the point, you should have let her die, because what's the point? Right. I mean, she's alive, but like, not really. But I guess if she's got some allegedly now some big part to play in the last season because of the fact that she's unconscious and probably, you know, connected to Vecna and whatever. Okay, I get that, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's like, I think the only two times I never actually like cried. I came close. And one was when Max was dying. And the other one was the way that Jonathan was talking to Will.
Yeah.
When, you know, because Will looks longingly at Eleven Mike. And like, mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are the two times I kind of like teared up, but I never actually ended up crying. But yeah, I'm interested to see what happens in the last season. I would love very much if they just made everyone gay, because that's what they're alluding to.
I mean, they might as well, right? Like, yeah. Might as well. Like, I understand it's like the 80s and it's not like a necessarily a thing that people really did. You didn't really come out, but it was like you allowed Robin to come out, like, even though she only came out to Steve, but she explicitly said it on the show, so why can't anybody else say it?
That's what, like, the things before I had watched the season, I had to block the Stranger Things tag on Tumblr because someone that I followed kept posting about it.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I haven't seen it yet. So I had to block it. But a lot of the things that they would post was like, especially fan art of, it was specifically Steve and Eddie, and then Robin and Nancy.
Of course.
And then obviously also Mike and Will. So,
you like, know, yeah, man. I don't even believe in, like, I'm not the type of person to quote unquote ship any character with any other character. It's like, I can see, like, I understand the whole thing behind Steve and Eddie, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be a thing for me.
Yeah.
Because maybe, you know, Eddie might have some type of feeling towards Steve, but I just feel like Steve wouldn't go for it. I feel like the whole romance thing between Robin and Nancy, I feel like that's a lot more plausible. But between Mike and Will, I was like, I just don't like it, because if you because you think about it, as soon as Mike found Eleven, he completely like forgot about the rest of his friends, and he has just been fixated on Eleven since they found her.
Yes.
And the way, and it's like they've been, you know, they've been alluding to it sort of like even in the show, but like when people start cutting out clips and like putting it all together, like Will actually was saying, you know, Dustin had Susie, Lucas had Max, Mike had L, and Will was just like, I want to play D&D with my friends, and all of you guys are just like gone all the time. It was like, excuse me for thinking that we were going to like have fun and hang out together like we always used to. It's like, you guys like banded together to come find me and come save me, but now that I'm back, nobody wants anything to do with me. And it's like, it's so messed up. And for him to like be longing after Mike so hard, and it's like, I don't like it, because I don't like it for him, and yes. Mike doesn't deserve Will, because Will is such a loving, he's so loving, he's so kind, he's so understanding, he's so supportive of all his friends. And like, and even, and it hurts, and I know that they were probably like, this was all, you know, scripted and everything, but the fact that Will, of course, we all know how he feels about Mike. He knows how he feels about Mike. Mike is blind. He's as blind as Max is right now when it comes to Will's feelings about him. But still, Will is like, you know, I see what you're doing, what you're going through with Elle. tell her how you feel. Be, you know, he's basically pouring out his feelings to Mike in a way to make it seem like this is what Mike should say to Eleven. And it's like, it sucks because, you know, that's a, like a real thing when, you know, not to say that people get friend zoned or whatever, but we see people like it, and it's a trope in like romantic comedies and stuff where a person is pining after somebody else, but they're too oblivious to see it because they're so fixated on another person, and so they pour their heart out to them in a way to make it seem like this is what you should say to the person that you want to be with, you know. And I just feel like Will deserves better. Mike doesn't deserve Will. Eleven, I just want Eleven to be happy with Hopper because their whole relationship, and it's like, I understand Eleven's like beef with Mike because, you know, the whole letters thing. Like, and the way she like pointed it out to him and the way he still didn't get it. And it was like, Mike is, to me, Mike is just kind of an idiot. It's like, he's so oblivious to all of the, everything that's going on around him. And I don't know. I am not on team Mike. I am on team everybody else except Mike.
Mike has always sucked. Like, but I've seen tons of people say that same thing of like, Mike doesn't deserve Will. And I get like where Will's coming from, where he's probably, I don't know, in his own way trying to move on because he knows he's not going to be able to be with Mike. But it's still that, like, you know, it's like losing a best friend and a crush all in one because, you know, they already, you know, live in totally different places now and then never get to see each other. And then when Mike does come and visit again, it's just, he's the third wheel. Like, he's not the best friend or any, he's nothing. He's just there.
Yeah. And they could not have framed that better. Just like at the roller rink, you know, Mike and Elle are just kind of like skating together and just Will's off in the back, you know, and it's just like, it's always about them two. And the fact that, how they came out and it was saying that, you know, when they were, when Mike made it to California, it was on Will's birthday, you know, and that whole thing about nobody remembered that it was Will's birthday to the point to where the Duffer brothers didn't even remember that it was Will's birthday. And they were like, oh, we forgot. And to the point to where they retconned it to when they got Will back from the upside down and they were trying to, you know, get him back to consciousness. And when Joyce said, you know, do you know what March 22nd is? It's your birthday. They retconned it to where now, if you go back and watch, you should say, do you know what May 22nd is? It's your birthday. So they moved his birthday because they forgot about it. And it's like, how unfortunately like meta is it that not only is he so forgettable that they forget about it in the story, but like in real life, the directors or the showrunners, the creators of the show forgot about it. And it's like, come on, man. Will deserves so much better. Not to mention that haircut.
Will,
justice for Will.
Well, that was bad. His whole, like, I mean, the whole first season was literally trying to get him back.
Right.
And for what?
Exactly. Like,
at this point, you should have just left him there, because that's basically what you're doing. It's worse. It hurts him more now than if he would have just died in the upside down.
Yeah, like, that's why a lot of people have the theory that, like, Will's going to become, like, a villain. Like, he's going to, like, go, like, to Vecna's side in the last season. Now, like, you know what? I don't blame him.
He deserves to be evil a little bit.
At least Vecna might appreciate it.
It's true. I mean, the one time he's appreciated, he's like, this is my dad now. Right. Like, I'm decided. Yeah, it's, there's just so much with that whole group. Like, I get they're young. What are they? Freshmen in high school?
Yeah, they're freshmen in high school.
So, you know, they're young, they're stupid, they don't know what's going on, like, especially with, you know, like, Eleven and Mike and their relationship, whatever, I get it. But I feel like they really did, for no reason, rush Eleven into a relationship, like, the, you know, the directors, because she's this girl who's been in this facility, knowing nothing other than this facility for essentially her whole life.
Right.
How suddenly is she just gonna get with this dude who was nice to her? like date this dude, even though she has no concept really of like what that is, because she's never been introduced to that, because she's been in a lab her whole life essentially. Like, that was just wild. I get if he might have felt feelings for her, but the fact that she reciprocated is kind of weird. Like, I feel like they don't need to be in a relationship. I feel like none of them do. Again, they're like freshmen in high school.
Yeah.
Like, they all started to get together in like eighth grade. That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
From my experience, at least. It's more like, at least in high school, it usually doesn't start in like, I mean, maybe like little datings here and there, but definitely not like a, and this is the 80s, I'll say that too. I don't know, but
right.
Like the staying together, you know, into high school. And I know they're all the same people, the same place, essentially going to the same school, but like,
yeah,
I don't know, it's just kind of weird.
That's probably what it is. It's like, the only like relationship that I can kind of understand is like Dustin and Susie. Just because, like, yeah, they met at a science camp, you know, like a little summer fling, and now they're kind of like a long distance thing. It's like, and I feel like Max and Lucas is sort of a relationship born out of, and I hate to say it, but kind of born out of trauma, because they had this shared traumatic experience. And so that's what bonds them together. And I mean, that's really kind of what's kept them together even throughout season four, you know, because. Yeah. You open up season four, Lucas is on the basketball team now, Max is dealing with the trauma of losing Billy, and they're often used, basically they're like on two separate planets, and then Lucas is like, you know, I've tried to be here for you, but you kept pushing me away. But we didn't really see any of that, because even with the rest of the Hellfire Club, they were like, Lucas, we have our, you know, D&D, like our campaign, it's the last night of the campaign, we're fighting, you know, Vecna or whatever, and he was like, can't, I got a basketball game. You know, and it's like, he could not be less interested in the things that he used to do. But again, through this shared traumatic experience, now that Max is in trouble, I do appreciate it now that he did kind of see his priorities, and he saw that all of the basketball team were like a bunch of assholes. He got away from them. So I do appreciate that. But I would say, like, kind of, at least for the younger kids, rating on the scale of what seems to be appropriate relationships, I would say Dustin and Susie, and then to a lesser extent, Max and Lucas, and to a far just completely unnecessary would be Mike and Eleven. Because, yeah, like you said, this child who escaped this laboratory really had no concept of romantic love. She had concept of paternal love, which she thought Dr. Brenner, you know, loved her and cared about her. And obviously, that never was a thing, because he was just as much of a jerk in season four as he was in season one. But, and so she meets Mike, and I can see, I feel like Mike only fell for Eleven because that was like literally the only girl I would talk to him. He was pretty much a loser in school. And like, even when they brought Max into the fold, Max had more conversations with Lucas and Dustin then Mike, like, Max barely hung out with Mike. But I think that's really what it was. Yeah. This was the only girl that would talk to Mike. And so he was like, this is the love of my life.
She had powers. She was new. She was mysterious. She was a girl. That's all you need. Like, I feel like almost between them, like you said, like Dustin and Susie are fine, but it almost does feel like the only relationship that would have made sense that they ruined, and it's just ruined now, would have been Will and Mike, because they were friends and that would have made sense. But now that's not, it's like ruined. If Mike hadn't gotten with Eleven, it could have happened and could have been fine. But Mike is just sucks. I don't know. Like, just ragging on children.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. Like, I mean, I would say he's, you know, becoming a teenager, so I get it. He's, you know, a lot going on. Plus, they've got all this, like you said, like,
they're trying to save the world every few months.
So it's like, he's got a lot going on. I get it. But he is like a jerk.
Yeah, like, he is.
When Will's like, I thought we were best friends, and Mike's like, people change. Like, shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Like, just so cold-hearted. Like, yeah, this is, and he was like, your best friend that you've grown up with, and you just so easily dismiss him like that. It's like, how?
There was no talking. Like, at least Will tries to, like, talk things through. Mike is like, mm-hmm. No. Mike was like, he was not having it. When he's like, well, maybe you should have tried harder to get a hold of me. It's like, you didn't... What?
Oh my god, yeah, I remember that. I'm like, so dude, are you serious? Like, are you serious? Yeah. I'm like, if I knew that not only my best friend that I grew up with got kidnapped and transported to another dimension, taken over by some type of psychic monster, and even when he came back, he was still psychically linked to him and still being like mind controlled by him. Like after three seasons of that, and now he moved away, I would be like calling him almost every other weekend. Like, dude, how are you? Are you good?
Yeah. Like,
you know, is everything okay? I want to, not only do I want to check on you and make sure that you're all right, but I also want to check on you and make sure we're not about to have any more of this, right? You know, none of the stuff that's been going on. Like, you good? Like, you're still, you're not detecting them anymore. Are we all right? You know, but Mike just doesn't care.
He doesn't care about anything other than Eleven, who he also is, like, struggling with. Right. Like, it's just, it's wild.
As much as he said that he cares about Eleven, he seems pretty meh about the whole relationship.
It's, like, it's one of those things where... wild, because he's like all about her, then mm-hmm. also, yeah, like totally, like, I mean, he's young, I'm sure, you know, what do you do in a relationship? And then Eleven, who was also, she had no time to like be or explore herself before she got with Mike, so right. You know, she was in a lab, she was with Mike, that's it, there was no in between. And like her going full force into Mike, because that's all she's known, that's not the lab.
Right, exactly.
So her being mad that Mike isn't full force, and Mike's like, I don't know what's going on, because he's more casual about the dating thing. Even though he's all about her, he's still more casual about it. And mm-hmm. she's not, because she's like, I don't know what casual is, I just, full force, you are right. You are it. This is it.
You so are my fixation.
Yeah, I will say, to a degree, the way that they're writing it then like that makes sense. Yeah. I can see why they're having these problems. I'll say that. But
yeah.
They shouldn't have been together in the first place, and this wouldn't have happened.
Because it was like, first, she's all about Papa. And you're like, that was her fixation. Yeah. She escaped the lab. She got with Hopper. She was fixated mm-hmm. on Hopper. You are mm-hmm. my new fixation. And then Hopper, you know, he went to Russia. That's because my brain was going to Russia. But so Hopper's gone, and so now, of course, you know, she has another fixation, so she's fixated on Mike, and so she's trying to convey her feelings, and not only that, she's trying to convey her feelings for this fixation, and she's halfway across the country now. It's like, yeah. What else can she do, you know?
The best time she had was when her and Max weren't talking to Lucas and Mike.
And they went to the mall and they were just having fun, being girls. And that's when Eleven, that's like the most we've seen Eleven, like, just, I don't know, just be. And not have to worry about, not have to worry about powers, not have to worry mm-hmm. about boys, not have to worry about, like, trying to fit in. It was just like mm-hmm. Max made her feel like a person, I guess.
Yes, and that's what she needs. But then, now that she's moved, I mean, I don't know what's going on now, but like, because she had moved, like, she lost everything. She lost her group of friends. She lost Max and Mike, and, you know, she's with Will, who is, like, those two were never close, you know?
No.
I mean, they're both, like, outcasts.
Right. It's like, as much as Will tries to support her because she's being bullied, it's like, you're getting bullied too, so there's really not much that you can do.
I know. Like, they can't win. And then you got Jonathan over here who,
oh my God,
doesn't know what he's going on. He's got his whole thing with Nancy, which is also wild. that,
that
like
is
See, that's why with Steve I can get okay. So Steve's whole thing, the fact that he just keeps dating, didn't he do that before Nancy?
Yeah, he dated Nancy in season one.
Before Nancy, didn't he, like, he also dated around?
Yeah, he was like a real asshole in season one.
Right. So he's gotten better, but he still dates around.
Well, and is he really dating around? Because I know he was saying that he's, like, trying to find someone. But
allegedly.
Yeah.
But, like, that, you know, the whole where, like, Robin says, like, you don't know what you want, and that's why you keep, you know, trying to date whoever. And it's, like, implied. Obviously, Robin's desperately trying to get Steve and Nancy to get together, which I get it. But, like, I don't know. Like, I could see if Steve's thing, if the reason why he can't find what he's looking for, and it's implied that it's because he wants Nancy and no one else is Nancy, so they can't add up to it. Right. I mean, he even said that himself, where he's like, when I envision my future, you're there.
Yeah.
But, like, I could also see if it's because he doesn't even realize it, but if he's, you know, either bi or gay or whatever, like, that I could see making sense. And that's why he's like, I don't know, no one's clicking, nothing's working. And it's like, because you're not,
you might be going after the wrong gender.
Yeah, like, that I can see. That would make sense to me if Steve was, like, either bi or gay and he just doesn't realize it or is in denial or whatever. And that's why maybe he just liked Nancy the most or gets along with her the best, and that's why he's like, no, I just can't find the right person because none of them are Nancy, you know?
Yeah.
That's why that one I can get. Don't see Robin and Nancy getting together. I don't think that really makes sense. I can see them being friends.
Yeah, and I feel like their friendship, even though it, like, developed, like, super quick, because Robin and Nancy just never really interacted, because even in season three, when the whole the Team Scoops basically had Steve, Robin, Dustin, and Erica, they went, like, through the elevator and into the Russian bunker and all this other kind of stuff. And Nancy, what was Nancy doing in season three?
What was she doing in season three?
I don't remember what Nancy was doing in season three, because I know all the kids were at the mall. I don't remember. I have no idea. I'm sure her and Jonathan were doing something. I don't know.
I think they were there.
Didn't they go after them? They went to go get Murray, right?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't remember. But I feel like, her and Jonathan, whatever they were doing together.
Yeah, so Nancy was off with Jonathan. So Robin and Nancy just never really spent any time together until this season. And you can see, even when they were, like, Nancy was like, I'm going to go to the library to see if I can find anything. And Robin was like, you know, I'll go with you. Us girls got to stick together. Steve, babysitter Steve, mom Steve, you got the kids. And so how Nancy was just kind of like, you know, kind of like, about it. And, you know, just that whole progression of their relationship just happened literally in the library. Like, Robin being her awkward self, which Steve is used to by now. And she's just like, you know, I've been told that I can be annoying and I can be grating. So if I do annoy you, just let me know. I apologize, but I can't help it. And, you know, and Nancy just kind of like being whatever. I don't know if she, I guess she was trying to maybe get away from Steve. And I think that was either that, or she was trying to like go away with Steve. I don't know. I don't know what the motivation behind that one was, but, you know, just Robin trying to, like, reassure her, like, look, I'm not trying to get in between you and Steve. I'm not trying to get with Steve, you know, all this other kind of stuff. So I don't know if that kind of eased her up. And then once they found, like, the stuff about Victor Creel, and she saw when they went to the Pennhurst Asylum and how Robin was able to, like, improvise and just that whole, like, arc in that one episode, it just kind of like changed their whole dynamic into where they were walking to Skull Rock, and how Nancy was like, yeah, you said that you want your friends to be happy, so does that make us friends? And Robin was like, you know, yeah, we're all in the same group, so of course we're friends. And so Robin, Nancy had like that little smirk or whatever, and it's like, you know, I think she appreciates having another girl in the group, because before it was just her and all the boys other than 11 and Max, you know, so
who are children
and so you have another girl that's around her age, because I think Nancy and Steve and Jonathan have all graduated, or either they're about to graduate, because I know Nancy and Jonathan were waiting on their college acceptance letters. Steve had already graduated. Robin was still in school in the band, so I guess she might be a senior as well, same as Eddie. So I guess Steve's like a year older than all of them. So somebody that's, you know, her age or whatever, rather than, you know, the rest of the kids and everything. So I think she's just appreciative to have like another girl her age that she can like chill with and vibe with, just kind of like how it was with Max and Elle. But yeah, I don't think that'd turn into like any type of romantic anything.
Yeah, like I feel like part of Nancy's problem at the beginning too was the whole like the weird rivalry, because, you know, she's like, oh, you're close with Steve, why wouldn't you guys be dating? And there's so many times where I'm like, Robert, just tell her you're a lesbian.
It would clear so many things up.
It would end so much frustration and like rivalry on Nancy's part. Like, she would be like, oh, I see, now it makes sense why you guys aren't dating. All Robin would say is like, we're platonic with a capital P. It's like, but explain why. I get why you're not, like, but
explain why. Because it's like, you would think like back then, of course, because it is the 80s, you wouldn't see too many like just guy, like a single guy and a single girl hanging out together as friends. Yeah. It's like, it wasn't something that people saw as a common thing. It's like, obviously you two are dating, or if, you know, if you're not dating, then either you want him or he wants you, but the other won't decide that they want to act. So something's going on. And she's like, no, we're just friends. It's like, if you would just explain why you're just friends, and I've been like, oh, light bulb moment, I see now.
Exactly. And see, with Nancy and Jonathan,
just a mess.
They just need to break up, because they both made it known that they like each other, but they're not, like, their lives aren't going in the same direction, and you know, it's just, I don't know, they dated for a little bit, okay, that's fine, now you guys are gonna move on, that's okay, like, they still like each other, like, they still have feelings for each other, but they're like, that's why they're like, he's, you know, he's sweet, but I don't want to break up with him because he's sweet, I don't know, like, you know, it's just, they like each other, but it's just, they like each other to the point where they need to accept that they're not going to be together, like, just liking each other isn't enough.
Yeah.
And that it's okay to, you know, they can still be friends if they want, but they don't have to date.
They don't have to date, right. You don't have to be in a, like, a romantic relationship. Yeah, that whole, like, reunion between the two of them and, you know, Nancy asking Jonathan if he got his acceptance letter yet, and he was like, no, still waiting on it. And Jonathan asking her, it's like, we're still good, right? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. It's like, obviously we see both of them are lying, and for me, I'm just like screaming at my television. I was like, well, one of you just tell the truth. It's like, both of you are being awful right now.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's gonna happen eventually, obviously. Right.
It's gonna come out, and it's gonna be a mess. One of the things that I did find endearing was how Eddie admitted that he was like a little jealous of Dustin and Steve's relationship. He was like, you know, I shouldn't really care what Dustin think, but, you know, I got kind of a little jealous, you know, this kid who I, you know, obviously he adores Dustin. Who doesn't adore Dustin? Dustin is like probably like the best part of the show. But it's like, I would be too if I was friends with Dustin, and then I saw that Dustin was like better friends with somebody else. I'd be like, oh, I thought I was like his best friend.
Yeah. It's like, I thought we had something. What's right. going on here? Yeah, that's. I'm glad that when Eddie died, whether he stays dead or whatever happens, mm-hmm. that it was Dustin who was with him.
Yeah.
Like that kind of worked out well. But oh yeah, that was another time. I cried there when, well, mm-hmm. I teared up there when he like was dying, and then I cried at the end when Dustin gave his uncle the necklace. Yeah. That's where I cried.
That was heartbreaking. That was because that was probably like my second favorite performance of the show. I think my favorite performance was just Max's. Just, you know, episode 4, that's the episode that everybody talks about, running up that hill. Or Dear Billy was the name of the episode. Mm-hmm. But just Max's performance in just going through all these emotions, right? And writing mm-hmm. the letters and giving them to everybody and like being annoyed because she doesn't necessarily know how to process her feelings, and she's still closing them off because she's dealing with this guilt that she felt, you know, like a sense of not relief, but a sense of sort of kind of freedom after Billy mm-hmm. had died because of everything that she had been through with him. And then feeling the grief of that. And it's like, that was something that I feel like a lot of people can relate to, kind of like survivor's guilt. And just dealing with that and not knowing how to process that. And like not knowing how to be able to express that. Like, of course, she would never wish death upon Billy. Like, she didn't want Billy to die. But, you know, it's like one of those things where you're mad at somebody. You're like, you know, if you got hit by a bus, I wouldn't be mad. You know, and just having those type of feelings, and the way that they showed her struggling with that.
Yeah.
And just not only that, but then the different hallucinations that she had to deal with. Like when she thought she saw her mom, and she was like trying to explain her mom, like wanting to tell her how she felt. It's like, you know, I left the notes on the table, and then it turned out to be Vecna, and then mm-hmm. like even then it's like she wakes up out of the hallucination mm-hmm. and it's like she has to go to the cemetery and Vecna's like mind lair, and just the performance that she put on, because I was watching like some little behind scenes thing and how they were talking about how, of course, most of the backgrounds in the mind layer is all, you know, CGI, blue screen, green screen and stuff like that. But like all of the like the post that she was pinned up against, that was real. And of course, Vecna, Jamie Campbell Bauer being in full prosthetic makeup, which is amazing, with that being real. And like the amount of actual practical effects that they put into the mm-hmm. show, you know, to make things look as real as possible. So like I thought that because I knew like she was running around like in the goop and all this other kind of stuff. So like, okay, so that's kind of real because you could see it was on all the clothes and stuff like that. But I thought like even with the vines that she was jumping over, like, okay, that's kind of CGI. But like, no, all of that stuff was real too. And just like you're running, right? So you're running in like regular motion, and you have to be able to express fear and desperation and all that stuff. You have to do that like in real time to where it looks impactful when they put it in slow motion, like, because you mm-hmm. know, you don't see that when you're filming it. And it's just like that emotion and all of that, I felt like that was like, I don't know, it was just like amazing. But then when Dustin was telling Eddie's uncle about how, you know, Eddie died a hero, he saved a town of people that hated him, it was like if they just got a chance to know him like I knew him, and the way he was breaking down, I was like, oh my god. I'm like, these, you know, kids, you know, that are like late teens, early 20s now, but these kids, you know, between the two of them, they're like just carrying the show. It is just like amazing.
Yeah, definitely. That was... I don't really focus usually on the acting.
Mm-hmm.
I just focus on the show. I don't really think about, like, this is fake. I immerse myself, so that stuff didn't even really register to me. Now that you're saying it, it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I get exactly what you're talking about. But, like, yeah. In the moment, I'm like, oh, my God, she's actually dying, you know? Like, I'm not like, oh, cool effects. the only time I really do that is if something's, like, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I just get annoyed about it.
Yeah, you're like, this looks awful.
Yeah, it's like I get to a degree, you know, they can't do, like, everything. So it's like, yeah, that I get. And sometimes, like, it happened at Umbrella Academy a lot where I did think about how stupid they probably look and feel when, like, they're supposed to be shaking or, like, they're using their powers because, you know, obviously nothing's really happening.
Right.
Those are really the only times I think about it. It was specifically with Umbrella Academy. I don't know why.
And we can kind of transition over to Umbrella Academy, but I was just going to say, at least like with 11, with Millie Bobby Brown, when she's like holding her hand out and she's screaming, like, yeah, you can kind of feel like crazy, like doing that. Cause it was kind of like they did it because of course she lost her powers. And so when she got like so mad at Angela, she tried to use her powers again. So she's just standing in the middle of the courtyard and she's like, and everybody looking at her like, okay, weirdo. But because they use so many practical effects, like when she's in Nina and she's like screaming and she uses the power and she blasts the guards back, they have like sparks and stuff. When she was escaping and she was bringing down a helicopter, they had like real practical explosions. So at least she could see like some stuff like that happening. But yeah, with like Umbrella Academy, it was just like Ben and shooting the tentacles out of his chest. So he just stands there and he just like twists a little bit. It's like, I can just imagine him filming that. And they're like, all right, twist to the left. And he twists to the right. And he twists. And like, okay, so we're going to edit around that and put the tentacles in. Sorry for the abrupt cut right there, but Ashley's dealing with some internet issues, which I know all too well, but we should be good for the next episode. But if you have any opinions about Stranger Things Season 4, if you liked it, you enjoyed it, you want to discuss it some more, you can reach out to us. You can find us on social media. Just go to our Tumblr page at spiderbitespodcast.tumblr.com. There's an Ask Us Anything link right there in the middle of the page. You can click on that. Or you can find us on Facebook. Just search for Spider Bites Podcast. That's Bites, B-Y-T-E-S. Or you can tweet at us at Spider Bites Cast. Any one of those ways, you can reach out to us, join in the conversation, ask us questions, leave us comments. We would love to hear from you. If you want to forego social media, you can reach out to us by email by emailing us at spiderbitespodcast@gmail.com. Again, if you submit anything and you want us to read it on the show, you can indicate it in your message. Or if you don't want us to read it and you just kind of want it just to be private in between, you know, you and us, you can indicate that as well. But if you want to keep up with the show, you can find us on just about any major podcast streaming service. We're on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, Podchaser, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Pandora, you name it, and we are probably listed there. But if you do subscribe to us or follow us on any of those streaming services, we ask if you can, leave us a rating, leave us a review. It's a good free way to help the show. Those ratings help us out because it helps us move up those podcast charts. There are a lot of podcasts out there and the visibility isn't the easiest thing to get. So we could use those ratings from you so we could get higher up on those lists. So that way when someone's looking for a new podcast to listen to, they're more likely to see our show on that list. And then that way you'll have more people to listen to the show with. Okay. And word of mouth. Word of mouth also helps. You know, just tell somebody about the show. If you had an episode that you liked and you enjoyed, we made you laugh, we made you think about some things, and you kind of want to share that with people that are around you, just spread the word. But the reviews also help us because it lets us know what you think about the show, the things you enjoy, things you think we can improve upon, things you want to hear more of, things you want to hear less of. But that way we can take those critiques, we can workshop them, we can change some things up. Just like this episode, every now and then we do these specialized episodes where we talk about a movie or a TV show or any type of property, and we just kind of gush about it. We give our reviews on it, we give our critiques and everything. But if you like more of those, we can do more of these. Or if you like it when we just take our questions and we bring out topics and we answer those and kind of talk about our own lives, we can do more of that as well. But we won't be able to do it unless we get those reviews from you so we can find out what you think. So let us know so we can bring a better quality show for you. But if you don't want to use any streaming services, you can still keep up with the podcast by going to our website at anchor.fm/spiderbitespodcast. It's an online audio player. You can access it from any browser, whether you're on a laptop, a tablet, a PC, a computer, a phone, what have you. As long as you can get the internet and you can get to the website, you can access it, scroll down to whichever episode you want to listen to, click play, and it'll start playing right there from your browser. Or you can download the Anchor FM app and just search for Spider Bites Podcast, and you can find us in the app. If you want to reach out to Ashley or myself individually, our social media links will be in the description of the show, as well as all the links to everything else that I just mentioned. This is where Ashley would normally come in with like a little extra anecdote, and we would just have some fun little witty banter before we sign off for the week. But like I said, she's having some internet issues. Hopefully we'll have those all resolved for the next episode. But until then, thank you so much for joining us this week. We love you. We appreciate you. And we hope to see you all for the next episode. Bye, everybody.